Welcome back, everybody. I am Richard Krause. That is Bob Reed. And like the big voice man just said, you're listening to The Rush on News Talk 1010. We're in for Rashmi Nair. She's off this week. And then it will be a carousel of voices coming at you, an ever-shifting carousel of beautiful voices coming to you to give you the news, tell you what's going on in the city and in the country. Right now on this show, it is time, though, for the smart speakers. That's where we bring in people way more clever than us to talk about the big news of the day.
Thank God.
I know.
And the aforementioned today are Lindsay Broadhead. She is Strategic Communications and Public Affairs Advisor. And Scott Reed, CTV political analyst and former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin back in the day on the Hill. Guys, we got to start with the interview from Moore in the Morning this morning. Don't know if you heard it. Richard and I were talking about it a little while ago, but it was a doozy.
I feel like Scott's heard it at least.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, for the benefit of those who didn't, Blake Acton is running for mayor of Toronto, former Toronto police officer, and one of the core planks of his platform is to make the TTC free for one and all. John Moore had some questions.
Yeah, well, we've done the number crunching, and it's totally doable.
Tell me how.
Well, that's another conversation.
It's this conversation.
No, that's a long, long conversation, not at this moment.
Right, but I'm sorry. I don't ever allow a political figure to announce a program without price tagging it and explaining where the money's coming from.
Well, as I said, stay tuned. That will be coming.
So that was Blake Acton on his campaign platform of making the TTC free. That was this morning on Moore in the Morning. That was the voice of John Moore you heard with Blake Acton. Scott, I'll start with you. Was this just the case of someone who perhaps isn't that media savvy doing an interview that they thought that they could control in a way that just didn't work? Or was it something more?
Something less, maybe even. I don't know. I mean, it was the sound of someone falling down a hill. It was ridiculous. So I was on with John actually at 6:15. He said, hey, we're going to have Blake Acton on later. And he's got this idea that like everybody can ride the TTC for free. And I'm kind of like, oh, that's great. You know what? I'd like to yank the moon out of the sky and cut up all the cheese and then feed the poor. So do you have a program? Do you have an idea? Do you have any explanation of consequences, implications? Zippo. And obviously, you know, John just, you know, chiseled the guy, and that's not John being unpleasant or unkind. That's somebody who says, I want to lead one of the largest cities in North America. I'm going to put out a radical idea, and I got zero standing behind it. But I'm going to tell you, listen, don't worry. On assurance, I got it covered, and I'll explain it all to you later. No, he's not going to explain it all to you later. It's not going to be good. This guy's not a serious candidate. Move along. Let's find out who the serious candidates are and who they're not. This guy just disqualified himself.
Lindsay Broadhead, this is in your bailiwick for sure. So some might try and approach something like that where they want to kind of tease it out a bit. They want to have, you know, sort of a headline idea and then, yeah, we'll get to the details later. They want to control kind of the rollout of their message. Is that what was maybe behind this?
Absolutely not. First of all, kudos to John for keeping calm and professional, because that's a waste of his time. And it's a waste of the viewers' time. Yeah, we see it all the time when people want to roll out a plan. They'll say, you know, more will be forthcoming. This is just, you know, I'm giving you my platform. I want to let you know what my priorities are. But that was an utter waste of time. Especially now when we're going into yet another and unpredictable wave of a mayoral candidacy. When I was at the Toronto Region Board of Trade, Blake Acton in particular rose quite a stink for not being part of a mayoral debate that was being hosted. And our critique was that it was absent and his platform was absent of content. And this is just a perfect indicator of that. When we go into this mayoral season, let's make sure we're, you know, putting forth candidates that have some substance behind them, because that was an embarrassment and a joke.
Wow. But what do you, I mean, what do you do moving forward? Like in a situation like that, I mean, the guy's going to run, you know, or it appears that, that he's going to run. He certainly wants it. He ran last time. He's back here. He was on the radio this morning. I mean, does he need different comms people? What do you do in a situation like this?
Well, you need a plan.
Yeah, that's right. Buy a 26er and enjoy yourself because the campaign's over, okay? Like, no one else is going to actually give you an opportunity to come on the airwaves for free and treat you as though you're a serious contender. He's not a serious contender. That's why I'm saying he disqualified himself. I agree with Bob. I think he probably was thinking, well, I'll announce this idea then, and then I'll say I'm going to fill in the details later. But no, you don't have the credibility independently to try to play that card. So my guess is he doesn't get invited to a lot of places. He doesn't get invited to a lot of interviews. I think it's curtains.
Lindsay Broadhead, the mayor of Lviv in Ukraine, has a message for Canadians. He spoke to Canadian press, and he said, yeah, the war is going on, but not really around here. This is actually an okay place for people who want to come and visit. I can understand what's driving this. I mean, the economy of the whole country is in tatters. There's a need there. But how does this message play to you?
Well, look, I'm not going to be taking my kids there anytime soon. Just a matter of practicality. There are a lot of countries in the world that are deemed unsafe or less safe, certainly, than what we have the pleasure of living in here. And you can still go. I think it's a little bit early, though, to be asking tourists to come and enjoy the views, sights, and sounds. We need a little bit more confidence that, you know, if Canadians are going to be going there, that they're actually going to be safe. So I appreciate the rationale. I am so sympathetic, but I wouldn't recommend that as a destination of choice for any family or friends.
And Scott, air raid sirens are an almost daily occurrence, although many people in the city do not heed them anymore. That doesn't sound like something the Tourist Bureau would really want getting out.
Many people claim that the nightlife of Britain was never more hopping than in 1940. I'm sorry. I'm with Lindsay. Like, I understand. I listened to the interview, and there's a rational argument, which is like, hey, you know, the bombing is happening in Ottawa, and we live in Toronto, so you can feel reasonably secure. Reasonably, but I don't know, man. It's a stretch. I want to not just show moral support. I want to show literal support to Ukraine. So I'm going to contribute to charities that will help. I want to do everything I can, but I'm not hauling my family there. I'm sorry. It is not the right moment to say, hey, the beaches are beautiful. Come on by.
No. Scott, very quickly with you before the break here, a Toronto MPP has left the Progressive Conservative Caucus at Queen's Park. He's going to sit at an independent. This follows in the wake of one news report that alleges he was involved in China's election interference in the 2019 federal election. So he has volunteered to leave the Conservative Caucus at Queen's Park. An investigation is going to go underway. Good bit of issue management there?
Yeah, but I don't think it's right. And he didn't volunteer. Let's not fool ourselves. He did not volunteer.
Right. There was nothing voluntary about that.
he was volunteered, and a good friend of mine is one of Ford's senior advisors, and we've mixed it up on this a couple of times, Corey Tenak. And, you know, my view is you got to be really careful. An unsubstantiated, one uncorroborated media report, it may be correct, but it's unidentified sources. And on that basis, you're going to shred someone's name, reputation, career. Don't tell me that he can come back into caucus 7 months from now and the taint will be forever removed. It won't be. The taint will haunt him forever. Again, if he's guilty, well, then, you know, that's that. But I'm not certain there's a threshold of evidence that, you know, dictates that he ought to have been treated this way. I think it's uncomfortable.
Thanks, Scott. When we come back, there's going to be lots more with Lindsay Broadhead and Scott Reed on the smart speakers on The Rush with Bob Reed. I'm Richard Krause. We're going to talk about the Toronto Police Service modifying deployment on the transit system in response to safety measures. Is it a good idea? Well, we'll find out what Lindsay and Scott think when we come back. Stay with us. Street fighting man. Mm. That's Scott Reed for sure. That's, I don't know. Or is it Bob Reed? I don't know. One of them. One of them likes fighting in the streets, and it's time for revolution on the rush with Rush Me Nair. Except Rush Me Nair isn't here today. I'm Richard Krause. That's Bob Reed over there.
Yep.
And we are talking with smart people about the big topics of the day on a topic or a segment we like to call Smart Speakers.
Scott Reed, the aforementioned, is with us. He is CTV News political commentator and former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin. Lindsay Broadhead, strategic communications and public affairs advisor. Guys, we want to ask you about the announcement from the Toronto Police Service today that they are dialing back the number of officers that have been deployed into the TTC since January. This was done basically on an overtime basis. They were pulling in an additional tranche of officers on overtime shifts to beef up the presence in there. They made a couple of hundred arrests. They referred 220 people to other organizations for shelter, food, mental health services, those kinds of things. But now they're saying they're able to dial it down. Lindsay, how does that sit with you? Is this the right time to be easing this back? Are we kind of over that hump?
Well, it's weird, kind of strange reading the police's press release. And with all due respect to them, I didn't really understand the rationale for why they're pulling back. They said that they, as you just said, they had a lot of action, a lot of fairly serious crimes that they were addressing, also addressing a lot of societal issues, you know, where TTC becomes a shelter for those who don't have shelters elsewhere. So, is this just what we experienced? Was that a symptom of the colder weather? And that's not a factor anymore. Like, what has changed to allow for the police to step back? As someone who's traveling and uses the TTC often, I don't see any notable difference either way. Yeah. But I don't see the system comprehensively, right? I see my route. Mm-hmm. But I would like to know, part of this is fear, right? Like, when we hear about stabbings, the users of the service become fearful, whether it's justified or not. So what we're deserved right now is some more information to contextualize that fear and dismantle it. So I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, there was a moment in time not long ago when we were hearing about terrible things that happened on the TTC every day.
Horrible.
In fact, yeah. I was here one Friday afternoon, and we were talking about a stabbing on the TTC. And while we were talking about that stabbing, another stabbing happened on the TTC. Like, they were literally doubling up on one another on the news cycle in the same day. So that was a really bleak time on the TTC. I don't know that if we remove the police out of there, I don't know if we're going to go back to that. I just think it's a bit premature to get rid of them. Scott, what do you think?
And you know what? I actually think you and I were co-hosting together that day. I think I remember that. And, I think for the sake of clarity, Lindsay makes the point that the press release is long but not terribly illuminating. I think the headline should have been tons of arrests made, lots of danger down there, but holy crow, overtime pay is expensive, because mm-hmm. I think that's really what's going on. I think they're like, all right, we discovered that this is expensive. And it felt like there was a headline hunting environment for a period of time. And now that's dissipated. Is that dissipated because the cops surged? It changed behavior. Now people are not being violent and therefore it's okay and we can pull back? Or is it, look, there was a lot of attention on this. We had to do something. We did something and it was never sustainable. And now we're withdrawing. I kind of think it's the latter. So I'm not sure that it is a permanent fix. It may be understandable from a budgetary standpoint, but that probably just highlights the fact that we got a couple of endemic problems that we haven't really come to grips with.
Yeah, definitely missing pieces on the comms on that, for sure. A couple of, frankly, reprehensible characters back in the news again. Dylan Millard and Mark Smitch, they were the two who killed Laura Babcock and Tim Bosma back a number of years ago. Also, Dylan Millard's father was determined to be a victim of Dylan Millard as well. They're basically appealing consecutive sentences that they were given for those crimes on the grounds that that has been deemed unconstitutional. All this does is bring some horrible events back to the fore, particularly for the families. Lindsay, curious for your thoughts on this as this plays out.
Oh my God, it's so heartbreaking. Like it's one of those things, like I can't even imagine. God willing, I never will. The strange thing for me here is that these guys were given their punishment under certain circumstances. The rules, as you said, of the game have changed since then. Fine. But I wonder what they would have been charged with under today's circumstances. You know, could there have been a judgment that would have been different but satisfying to the family and loved ones of the victims? Because it seems unfair that not only do the family members have to go through it all over again when this goes to court, but that the final judgment, the number of years, has been dramatically altered. So I have nothing particularly, you know, illuminating to say about how it could be done differently in court. I just feel like this, the grandfathering nature, the change of the for these cases that are going back to court, is unfair for yet a second time for the victims.
So it's interesting to be back in this building on this day, March 13th, because 3 years ago I was here. It was a Friday the 13th, and everywhere that I went, whether it was a radio station, CP24, CTV News Channel, the camera down there, there are televisions for people that haven't been here. There's televisions everywhere. And everywhere I was saying, listen, there's a pandemic now, this thing called a pandemic. If we take a hard break for 2 weeks, we should be able to put this thing down. And my hits kept getting canceled because there were press conferences and things. So finally I said, you know what? I'm out. I'm leaving here. And I went down to Cumbres down the street here. And I bought what I thought was enough food for 2 weeks and went home, and I thought, this will be it. We'll just ride this out. And, you know, 3 years later, here we go. Do you remember what you were doing in March 2020 when all this happened, Scott?
Yeah, I sure do. I was 2 days into a vacation in Costa Rica. I had gotten a jump on March break and taken my kids down there. And I'll never forget being down there, literally just how quickly it moved. People were talking about this, but it was unclear how serious it was. And within 3 days of being down there, the prime minister had announced that he was shutting down international travel. And I got a note from a friend of mine as a federal cabinet minister. And he said, dude, I'm not saying this as a cabinet minister. I'm saying this as your friend. Get your ass home right away. And I thought, this is a big deal.
Lindsay, we are out of time. We'll come back. We'll talk about this further another time.
Next time.
Next time. That was Lindsay Broadhead and Scott Reed, the smart speakers on News Talk 1010 on The Rush. Bob Reed's over there. Richard Krause right here. We're in for Rush Me Nair. When we come back, we are going to talk about some of the top stories of the day, the Toronto Police Service modifying deployment on the transit system and more. Stay with us. There's still a whole lot more to come on The Rush.